Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts and minds be pleasing in your sight, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. But once upon a time, these words suggest that a fairy story is about to start, but not this morning. Once upon a time, there was a man who was an every Sunday attender at church. Not many people can claim that nowadays, but he was in the church every Sunday morning for the service. He had a bad habit. He fell asleep every Sunday during the sermon. And he had the misfortune to belong to a congregation whose minister absolutely detested anybody sleeping while he was preaching. And so in that congregation, every Sunday morning, there was an elder with a stick. And if he saw anybody sleeping, he was to tap them lightly on the shoulder with his stick. And lo and behold, the first person he saw sleeping was our every Sunday morning attender. And so he went across and he tapped him very gently on the shoulder, and nothing happened. And so he did it again, a little harder this time. Still, no change from the gentleman in the pew. And so the elder hit him. And when I say hit him, he hit him very hard. So much so that he fell out of the pew into the aisle. He opened an eye and he looked up and he said, "Hit me harder, I can still hear him." When I was thinking about that story, I realized that often ministers, without an exception here this morning, talk too much. And perhaps not just ministers, maybe all of us are guilty of talking too much. We should let silence have a voice more often. And to speak about silence having a voice may be thought of as a contradiction, but it's not always so. Sometimes, as you know, speech sinks into silence and says more than words. When our emotions are active, we often say something that we regret. But how often in my ministry have I counseled people when I say nothing to them at all, but I touch them on a shoulder with a hand, or I give them a sympathetic look, or I pass over a clean handkerchief? And these gestures perhaps will convey more meaningfully than any words that I might have spoken. Just think of how often and for what reason we have maintained a minute or 2 minutes silence before the tide of life goes on. And when that silence is over, the noises of our living swallow that little island of silent peace. Silence has a voice, and it is not the noisy folk that often say the most. What do we hear? "The heavens declare the glory of God, The beauty of creation tells out God's majesty, not a word, but a picture paints a story. There are parts of music written where there are rests, and these rests are not simply holes in the music, they are part of a composer's creative product, and as one listens, the most effective part is often the rest. Robert Browning writes of grand orchestral silences. You can imagine a 60-person orchestra playing sounds of music, of melody, and suddenly there is a silence. And your mind begins to take in the music that has been played. There is a lovely story told of a drummer who went for an audition for one of the major orchestras of Great Britain. And when he arrived, he was presented with his score, with his music, and he looked at it, and there were two bars in which he was to play some beats, and there were 32 bars of rests. When the drummer had to play nothing at all, the drummer, having scanned the music, said, "I'll skip the long rest." "Oh no," said the conductor, "you won't. The rests are what I want to hear." Think about it. Silence may convey consent. It also may convey disapproval. Katie read this morning that little story of Peter. Peter in the church, in the courtyard, when he betrayed with his voice Jesus. And what was Jesus' response? A look which broke Peter's heart. A look which caused him to weep. And I'm sure there have been times when you, like me, have somehow done something wrong, and we're questioned about our reaction to the look. And I go back to my childhood, and if I did anything wrong, my mother didn't give me a little smack over the cheek or the bottom. She didn't hit me with a stick. She just looked, and I shriveled. Peter was found out. He was ashamed, and he cried. There is, says the writer of Ecclesiastes, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Not only because there is nothing worth saying, and because silence says it best. And the Bible tells us that God speaks in a variety of ways. He speaks for centuries through the prophets, whose words called people to repentance and to renewed service. He speaks through the teaching of Jesus. But we all know that God speaks also into the silences of our hearts and our minds. And we hear, "Be still and know that I am God." The world in which we live in is a noisy place. There is a greater need than ever before for times of silence which bring healing and peace to troubled souls and troubled minds. And what the Bible teaches us, and we can see in Jesus, is the need to take himself away from the hustle and bustle of life for a time of quietness and solitude. And the question, is that the music of our lives? Or do we have a cacophony of sound which gives us no help whatsoever? We may want to skip the rests, but we have to listen to them as well. Dr. W.E. Sangster, one of the greatest Methodist preachers in Britain, died at the height of his preaching powers. He died at the age of 59. After 10 months of illness, he wrote a retirement letter, and he explained that he knew that he would never preach again. And then he wrote these words, "I would like you to know that God has never been nearer to me than now. At no time in my life have I had so much time for prayer. And perhaps part of my pain is not being able to preach in the knowledge that I have deeper things to say than ever before." You don't need me to tell you that God's love is at work for you. You are the people claimed by God as his own to proclaim the glorious deeds of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does it mean to be a Christian? You will have words of your own, but here again, the words of our call to worship: be generous to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And if you think about these words, you will understand that they may come with words, but the touch and the look and the expression, they often say more and bring comfort to those who are in need. Be a Christian. Be someone who knows that he or she has been called by God, and God loves and cares and gives of his grace and his mercy to forgive us for the noise that we make, which has no benefit whatsoever. Amen. May God bless to us the preaching of his word.